previous time. My husband Tom said afterward that it had been my State of the Church address. And it's a pretty good description. My goal this morning is more pastoral. What can we do to best weather and grow, not just get through it, but what can we do to grow through this time? I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just tired. I'm tired mentally, I'm tired emotionally, I am tired spiritually. It's partly this weather, but nonetheless, I'm just tired. And I imagine that I am not alone in that either. And that's why the title of Thai Buddhist monk Ajahn Brahm's book, Who Ordered This Truckload of Dung, suggested itself to me as a sermon title. What can we do to take care of ourselves and each other as we shovel our way out? You know, it's not just here either. Our environment is under siege on so many fronts. We have a president who is capricious and self-centered, and whose actions and words cause many to question his morality and a lot to question his mental health and fitness to serve, who makes racist and xenophobic tweets, which aren't only inaccurate, but they're calculated to inflame. There's renewed conflict over abortion rights, which feels to a lot of us like an attack on women's rights in general. There's been various kinds of conflict rolling around in the UUA denominational level for a long time, but it reached a new intensity at General Assembly with the Gadfly Papers controversy. And then to narrow it down more, for some people, it's also happening in our families, both nuclear and extended, our workplaces, our individual personal lives. If we feel we're under siege, I think it's because we are. So there's no surprise that we feel like things are falling apart. And I expect that some of us, and probably a lot of us, are feeling anxious and unsettled, at least some of the time. So who ordered this truckload of dung anyhow? I don't know. Some of the uncertainty will be resolved at the August 4th congregational meeting. And if you don't take anything else away from this sermon, please study the issues, read the statements that have come out from all parties, and there have been a lot of them. They've been in special e-blasts. They're accessible. Attend that meeting. Let your voice and your vote count. The health of our congregation depends on our full participation in the process. And I'm not speaking here, by the way, what I'm about to say. I'm not speaking in favor of either approach. I'm not speaking to one contingent or the other. What I want to say applies to all of us, whatever course of action we favor or if we're not sure. No matter how the vote goes on August 4th, there will be strong feelings, hard feelings. Some will feel their voices have not been heard. Some will feel a great wrong has been done. Others will feel there has been a great correction set. Some will feel we're not living our principles. Some will feel downright let down by their fellow congregants. Some of us may be fearful for the very future of our church, or fearful if we have a future here. So what can we do with all of this? First off, we can name our anxiety clearly. We can name exactly what is it that's making us anxious and edgy. Am I feeling powerless, unheard, disrespected, like the bad guy, unsafe, frustrated, manipulated. Naming clearly is a powerful tool. It puts parameters on it. It's not just this vague, mushy feeling. We can be compassionate toward ourselves and each other. Being anxious in this kind of a situation does not make you a bad person. It's a very, it doesn't mean you're not coping well. It's our completely natural human response to a time of tumultuous transition and uncertainty and bad atmosphere. We can also keep a sense of perspective. A therapist, my daughter knows, likes to point out to his anxious clients that a full-on fight-or-flight reaction is necessary and very appropriate if we're being chased down by a tiger. However, we don't usually confront tigers. Most things that wreak havoc on our composure are, in fact, house cats. That, however, does look like a fairly formidable house cat. Let me say here that I am not saying and not intending at all that what's going on in our congregation right now is nothing but a house cat. I don't mean that at all. I think what I am trying to say is that at least sometimes for myself, when I get anxious, I start overreacting to everything. And that's when I need to remind myself that hissing, spitting creature in front of me is a house cat, not a tiger. In the midst of having several things that felt as though they were coming loose, I way overreacted to not being able to get anyone to return my phone calls to mow our lawn while we were away. This is not a big deal, but it about put me over the edge. I was alone in the house at the time, so fortunately no one heard my little outburst. But once I started to gain some sense of perspective, I thought of the last person who failed to return my calls and said, "You're just a house cat." A discourteous house cat, to be sure, and a darn poor business person, but a house cat. Truth be told, most of what felt to me as if it were coming loose were house cats. Granted, there were a lot of them, but they were house cats. Humor can be healing. Stay with the process. Participate, stay engaged, don't opt out. Show up and speak up so that you're not letting others run the show. Having said that, I'd introduce caution. Sometimes we need to step back from a situation to maintain healthy boundaries for ourselves. We need to replenish ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually when we're close to our limit. And some of us may need to do that periodically. Just take a step back. We're all in this together, and that matters. I was on an airplane recently when the flight attendant began the standard set of instructions for what to do if there were a need for supplemental oxygen. You know the drill. Put on your own mask before helping others. It's often used as an analogy for self-care, and I've used it that way. This time, though, I heard the second part of that statement that they use more clearly. Oxygen will be flowing, even if the bag does not inflate. Even if it seems as if there isn't any oxygen flowing, there is, and we can trust it. It occurs to me that this may be the situation for some of us here at UU Muncie. We feel keenly the fragmenting of our community and indeed of our world. But there is life, there is community. Find those people who sustain you, and find those people whom you can sustain. They're out there. Find your people. This isn't going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be easy. And all of us are likely to feel bruised and worn at times. What's happening is sad, it's difficult, but it's also an opportunity to do church differently, to have the conversations that we have avoided to be different than we have been in the past. As Bee's reflection reminded us so well, and I will admit I didn't know this part of the history, in some sense we've been here before. We've opened and closed and people have come and gone, and by golly, we're still here. Let go, though, of the nagging hope for perfection. We're human beings, we make mistakes. Churches are made up of imperfect human beings, and that's not going to change. And often institutional dynamics magnify our human mistakes, making churches imperfect. And newsflash, even UU churches, believe it or not. We have high expectations of our churches, and rightfully so. But that means when conflicts and imperfections rear their ugly heads, we feel it keenly. Whatever course of action we take in the coming months, it's not going to result in perfection. Let's just put that idea aside. We can be grateful for what we have, too, for the good that is here, and I am convinced there is a lot of good here. That focus is a fine counterbalance to the negativity that swirls around right now. We're still a community, although a fractured one. People are still speaking their truth, working for what they believe is right. And look at the work we continue to do. Just last Sunday, there was a pulpit announcement about helping staff the Muncie Food Hub Mobile Farmers Market that will help people access fresh, nutritious food. There was another about a call-out meeting for a racial justice task force. This month, we took a dedicated offering for Home Savers and the work they do to assist people with work that needs to be done on their homes to make them safe and accessible. We are still doing what needs to be done in this community. Our focus needs to be on moving forward together. We cannot change the past. The congregational vote will tell us something about what scenario we'll be moving forward through. That's an awkward sentence, but either way, it's been a long and winding road that's gotten us here. And it'll be a long and winding road that we'll travel to get out of it. There will be no quick, easy, simple, painless solutions. And the sooner we get over that idea, the better off we'll be, as individuals and as a congregation. And let's scuttle the notion that we will agree, because we won't. I remain convinced, however, of what I said, and I'm going to go back to my previous sermon again. All of us, I think, can agree we want to be the best church that we can be. We want to continue to be an outspoken and coherent voice for progressive, inclusive religion in Muncie and in the region. We've been doing that since 1859. We want to be a church that is a force for positive, progressive social change. We want to become a community in which all persons feel welcome, valued, and safe, a community of acceptance, compassion. Yes, we differ, and we differ sharply right now on what this will look like and how to go about it. But I truly believe that we are unified in our commitment to these goals, because that's who we are, and that's what will see us through. May it be so. Closing hymns, number 1018. Come and go with me. Focus on where we're going.